forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing.
Thanks for joining us on Mission 66, an adventure through God's Word, brought to you by TWR and the teaching ministry of Dr. Luis Seau. Today, we'll learn about God's continuing provision and the discipline for the nation of Israel in the book of 2 Kings. Find your free downloadable study guide at mission66.org. John Matthews and Esther Sisulu are waiting, so let's dive in.
We continue our journey looking at the book of 2 Kings, chapters 21 through to 23. Now, Ahab was considered one of the worst kings in the northern kingdom of Israel, and Manasseh was the worst king of the southern kingdom, Judah. Yet Manasseh was the son of one of the best kings ever, and that was Hezekiah. Now, how could it be that such a good king could have such an evil son? Well, our teacher John Matthews will explain this as we look at today's theme, Rise Above Your Upbringing.
Esther, thank you so much, and a very warm welcome to Mission 66. Wherever you join us from today, it is so good to have your company, and thank you for being with us as we reach 2 Kings Chapter 21, and here we see that the northern kingdom had already been invaded and its people taken into exile in Assyria, whilst in Judah, well, we've arrived at the reigns of King Manasseh to King Josiah. Now, Manasseh was Hezekiah's son, and he begins his reign at the age of 12. And according to what we read in the Bible, he reigned for 55 years in Jerusalem. Now, one could say that a spoiled child could do a lot of harm in 55 years. And it seems the kings of Judah were going from one extreme to another, good or bad, and not much in between. So let's read about Manasseh from 2 Kings 21 and verse 2. And he, Manasseh, did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the despicable practices of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places that Hezekiah his father had destroyed. He erected altars for Baal and made an Asherah, as Ahab king of Israel had done, and he worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, In Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord, and he burned his son as an offering, and used fortune-telling and omens, and dealt with mediums and with necromancers. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. And the carved image of Asherah that he had made, he set in the house of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. And I will not cause the feet of Israel to wander any more out of the land that I gave to their fathers, if only they will be careful to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they did not listen, and Manasseh led them astray to do more evil than the nations had done, whom the Lord destroyed before the people of Israel. And so there you have a severe indictment and a hard sentence against the son of Hezekiah. Verse 11 says, And the Lord said by his servants, the prophets, Because Manasseh, king of Judah, has committed these abominations and has done things more evil than all the Amorites did who were before him, and has made Judah also to sin with his idols, therefore thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, Behold, I am bringing upon Jerusalem and Judah such disaster that the ears of everyone who hears of it will tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the measuring line of Samaria and the plumb line of the house of Ahab. And I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And I will forsake the remnant of my heritage and give them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies, because they have done what is evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came out of Egypt, even to this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, besides the sin that he had made Judah to sin, so that they did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now we're going to read more about Manasseh when we get to the book of Chronicles. And then his son Amon took the throne after Manasseh died. Now Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 2 years, doing evil in the sight of the Lord, as Manasseh his father had done. He was so bad, in fact, that even his own servants killed him in his own house. But the people of the land, who were also idol worshippers, struck down the conspirators against Amon and made Josiah his son king in his place. And now then, chapter 22 describes the reign of Josiah. This is how it reads. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. In the 18th year of King Josiah, the king sent Shaphan the son of Azaliah, son of Meshulam, the secretary, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may count the money that has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the threshold have collected from the people, and let it be given into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the workmen who are at the house of the Lord repairing the house, that is, to the carpenters, to the builders, and to the masons, and let them use it for buying timber and quarried stone to repair the house. But no accounting shall be asked from them for the money that is delivered into their hand, for they deal honestly." And Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." Verse 10 says, "Then Shaphan the secretary told the king, 'Hilkiah the priest has given me a book.' And Shaphan read it before the king." Now this would be like carpenters repairing an old church building and finding perhaps a dust-covered old Bible amongst the piles of boxes and lumber, not quite knowing what it was. But here Josiah is interested enough to find out what is in this book. And this is what happens in verse 11. "And when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Akbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the secretary, and Azariah the king's servant, saying, 'Go, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that's been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us.' So Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Akbor and Shaphan and Azariah went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikvah, son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she lived in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they talked with her. And she said to them, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring disaster upon this place and upon its inhabitants, all the words of the book that the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and have made offerings to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the work of their hands. Therefore, my wrath will be kindled against this place, and it will not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard, because your heart was penitent, and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard how I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and you have torn your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. So Josiah's penitent, contrite heart that delivered him from the evil that was about to befall his nation. And now we come to Josiah's reforms in chapter 23, which says this: Then the king sent, and all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem were gathered to him. And the king went up to the house of the Lord, and with him all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the prophets, all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people joined in the covenant. So as the king takes a lead, so that impact ripples down amongst the people, and a revival of sorts breaks out as Josiah is about to clean the house. Verse 4 says, The king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests of the second order and the keepers of the threshold to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels made for Baal, for Asherah, and for all the host of heaven. He burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of the Kidron, and carried their ashes to Bethel. And he deposed the priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to make offerings in the high places at the cities of Judah and around Jerusalem, those also who burned incense to Baal, to the sun and the moon and the constellations and all the host of the heavens. And he brought out the Asherah from the house of the Lord outside Jerusalem to the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and beat it to dust, and cast the dust off it upon the graves of the common people. And he broke down the houses of the male cult prostitutes who were in the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the Asherah. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah, and defiled the high places where the priests had made offerings from Geba to Beersheba. And he broke down the high places of the gates that were at the entrance of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on one's left at the gate of the city. However, the priests of the high places did not come up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they ate unleavened bread among their brothers. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, that no one might burn his son or his daughter as an offering to Molech. And he removed the horses that the kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun at the entrance to the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech the chamberlain, which were in the precincts. And he burned the chariots of the sun with fire, and the altars on the roof of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars that Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, he pulled down and broke in pieces and cast the dust off them into the brook Kidron. And the king defiled the high places that were east of Jerusalem, to the south of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon the king of Israel had built for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Sidonians, and for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and for Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And he broke in pieces the pillars and cut down the Asherim, and filled their places with the bones of men. Moreover, the altar at Bethel, the high place erected by Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, that altar with the high place he pulled down and burned, reducing it to dust. He also burned the Asherah. And as Josiah turned, he saw the tombs there on the mount, and he sent and took the bones out of the tombs and burnt them on the altar and defiled it according to the word of the Lord that the man of God proclaimed who had predicted these things. Then he said, "What is that monument that I see?" And the men of the city told him, "It is the tomb of the man of God who came from Judah and predicted these things that you have done against the altar at Bethel." And he said, "Let him be. Let no man move his bones." So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet who came out of Samaria. And Josiah removed all the shrines also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which kings of Israel had made, provoking the Lord to anger. He did to them according to all that he had done at Bethel. And he sacrificed all the priests of the high places who were there on the altars and burnt human bones on them. Then he returned to Jerusalem. So Josiah here giving honour to the prophet who had foretold his reign and who had predicted that Josiah would be the one who had burned the bones on the false altar at Bethel. Let me read a little bit from 1 Kings 13 where it says, "And the man cried against the altar by the word of the Lord, saying, 'O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a son will be born to the house of David, Josiah by name, and he shall sacrifice on you the priests of the high places who make offerings on you, and human bones shall be burned on you.'" Now the prophet, who was not named, specified a named ruler called Josiah. And so as we see here, it came to pass, and as we paraphrase the rest of chapter 23, we see Josiah reinstituting the observance of the Passover, which had been neglected by previous kings. And it was an impressive Passover as well. Moreover, Josiah puts away the mediums, the necromancers, the household gods, and the idols in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem. And then in verse 25, it says, "Before him, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all of his heart and all of his soul and all of his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him." And sadly, Josiah dies in battle fighting Pharaoh Necho of Egypt. And despite his untimely death, Josiah's bravery and his dedication in restoring God's ways in Judah stand as a powerful testimony. And life, well, it comes down to our choices. Very often, Manasseh, despite positive influences, he chooses the route that is a wrong route, the evil route. Josiah, despite his negative influences, he chooses a different route. He chooses righteousness. So the truth remains that we can rise above our upbringings and our backgrounds.
Well, thank you so much, John. And indeed, right now, it is time for some questions here on Mission 66 as we look at chapters 21 through to 23 from 2 Kings, which really details the fascinating story of Josiah, who, as we see, rose above his upbringing. Now, John, let me start off by asking about Baal worship and what it was about these practices that really enticed the people of Israel and Judah. They could not let go of these practices. Talk to us about why.
Well, Esther, it appealed to the flesh Baal worship, which comes by many other names, which are all similar, was a fertility cult that aimed to secure a greater harvest through sexual acts. So there was nothing virtuous or indeed spiritual about it. So Baal worship is effectively debased sexuality. It takes us beyond natural limits to the point here of throwing babies into the fire before the idol of Baal. And when Josiah realizes how far things have gone, he puts an end, or tries his very best to put an end, to the moral decay and the satanic rituals. He could do it because he was the king. But I guess, Esther, the same question could be asked today. And what is it about exotic practices or religions that are so attractive to people today? It's not enough for us to worship the God of creation, who loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross for the sins of the very people who turned their backs upon him, and at times in their lives who've hated him. That doesn't seem enough to us, or maybe we don't see that clearly enough, but it doesn't seem enough, and so we want something else that appeals to us and to our nature, our base human nature. I think the English author C.S. Lewis put it well when he said this. He said, "We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased."
That certainly, I would say, accurately describes our humanity. Wow, thank God for his saving spirit, the Holy Spirit. Okay, well, you know, now we're coming to one of my favorite parts in this story. And it's about that book that the workers found in the temple. Give us some detail about it. What is this book?
Yeah, in chapter 22, it mentions the book of the law. And then in chapter 23, it talks about the book of the covenant. Are they the same? Well, some believe that the book of the law refers to a complete copy of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. The book of the covenant, on the other hand, may refer specifically to Deuteronomy, or perhaps even a portion of Deuteronomy, or even parts of Exodus, which contain the essence of God's covenant with Israel. Look, whichever it is, the chapters that we've read show God's law is rediscovered, and that light begins to shine in the darkness.
Well, I'll say that that was a happy ending, the light shining in the darkness there. These are some great explanations, John. Well, friend, our episode isn't quite over yet. Stay with us now as we head into the summary.
Yeah, today we were looking, weren't we, Esther, at chapters 21 to 23 of the second book of Kings, and we see the lives of Manasseh and Josiah, focusing on the theme, rise above your upbringing. Now, Hezekiah, he rose above his wicked upbringing to become one of Judah's best kings, and then Josiah rises above his upbringing to restore revival to his nation. Now, if you have no godly heritage to look back on, maybe you could start one yourself. If your background, conversely, was confusing, or the love, the truth, and the soul-changing presence of the Holy Spirit was quelled, perhaps, by the veneer of religious legalism, well, then I remind you of the words, the encouraging words of the prophet Isaiah, who said this, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not see it?" Let's encourage a new generation to forsake all, to follow Jesus. And may we put away the broken, maybe the wasted, maybe the religious years of our lives, to be part, to be a true part of the Holy Spirit's work in our world in these days.
Our journey through the book of 2 Kings will continue same place next time here on Mission 66, and we'll be concluding our look through 2 Kings with our last two chapters. So join us then, and remember, let's keep this Mission 66 conversation going on our social media platforms on Facebook and on Instagram. Simply type in the search line Mission 66. So until then, friend, may God bless you.
As we close today's program, take a minute to download your free study guide. You'll be able to follow along every single day. Plus, you can engage with the reflection and application questions so you can apply the teaching to your life. It's a great companion resource to the audio Bible teaching of John Matthews and Esther Sisulu. To get your free study guide, visit mission66.org. That's mission66.org. You can also support the ministry of Mission 66 when you visit the site. Your gift makes it possible for this great teaching to be heard in many languages around the world. Mission 66 is a ministry of Transworld Radio in partnership with Dr. Luis Seau.